So we're going to read the stories Janine just referred to in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 50. Let's listen to the word of God. These are the words of Jesus. Kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May God bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of the most holy word. About 15 years ago, a guy named Jesse Rohnbaum from Batesville, Indiana, was at a yard sale. And he was going through a stack of some old ratty paintings, and he came across this one of seven guys shooting pool. The seller wanted a dollar for it. Being my grandfather's grandson, Jesse said, I talked her down to 50 cents. Jesse Rohnbaum took it and he hung it on the wall of a storage unit and left it there for about 10 years. And then one afternoon, for some reason, he was looking at it, and down at the bottom, you can't see it in this picture, but down at the bottom, he saw the words, Pallet and Chisel Club, 1910. So he went to Google, and he discovered that the Pallet and Chisel Art Institute in Chicago is the second oldest artist club in the country. And this painting is actually seven different well-known artists of the day who took turns painting portraits of one another. And so Jesse Rohnbaum talked to an art dealer in Indianapolis, and the art dealer agreed to restore the picture and to put it up for sale in a Chicago, and for auction in a Chicago auction house. This painting that Jesse Rohnbaum spent 50 cents for eventually sold for several thousand dollars. Every yard seller's dream, right? You find that priceless item and you spend just a couple of bucks for it. Well, this morning, we just read a story that Jesus told that's a lot like that. And we're going to reflect on it for just a few minutes. Before we do, though, let's pray. Great and mighty God, thank you so much for this wonderful day you've made and for this time you've given us around your word today. As we consider the things of the kingdom of heaven, Lord, give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, give us hearts and minds that can understand the glory you have set before us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're still in Matthew chapter 13. For those of you who are last week, remember that we started in Matthew chapter 13 where Jesus told all kinds of parables, all kinds of stories, trying to explain what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like this farmer who went out to plant some seeds. The kingdom of heaven is like wheat and weeds growing up together. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. It's like fish swimming around in a stream. If you remember, Jesus told all these stories to help people hear and to see and to understand the wonders that God is doing all around us. Jesus was not trying to keep secrets from anybody. Jesus was trying to explain deep mysteries that are really too profound for our human brains to fully comprehend. And so in this morning's reading for the sermon, we hear Jesus talking about treasure hidden in a field, about an expensive pearl, and about some fish swimming around in the water. And one of the most important things to note about these three stories is that according to Matthew, Jesus told them specifically to his disciples. Now, just to remind you, there were at least three different groups of people who surrounded Jesus during his ministry in Galilee. There were people who had made some kind of commitment to Jesus. Matthew calls them disciples. We generally think of the 12 disciples that Jesus specifically named, that Matthew specifically named, but Jesus had more than just 12 disciples. There were also people, mostly religious folks, who were against Jesus. They had made up their minds to oppose Jesus every step of the way, and some of them had even come up with a plan to get rid of Jesus. And then there were the crowds. There was this mass of humanity who were trying to figure Jesus out. They wanted to see what Jesus could do for them. And Jesus told most of these parables, most of these stories to this crowd of people. If you remember from last week, Jesus was in this house teaching. And eventually the house got so full of people that Jesus had to go outside. He walked down to the Sea of Galilee. He got into a boat and he started telling these stories. And most of those parables he told to the crowds. But eventually, Jesus got done, and the crowd started to disperse, and then Jesus, along with his disciples, went back to the house where they were staying, and it was then that the disciples asked Jesus to explain those stories. And so Jesus offered these explanations to his disciples, to those who had already made some kind of commitment to follow Jesus. Now, one of these stories that Jesus had told the crowd that day was about this farmer who sowed a bunch of wheat out in a field. And as the wheat started to grow, some of the farmer's hired hands noticed some weeds growing up along with the wheat. And they went and asked the farmer, "What's up with this?" And the farmer explained that sometime during the night, this enemy had come and planted all the weeds. And so the hired hands wanted to go out in the field and yank out all the weeds. But the farmer said, "No, don't do that, because you might destroy the wheat in the process. We'll just let it all grow up together, and then when we harvest it, we'll get it all sorted out." And so back in the house, Jesus explained that parable to his disciples. "I'm the farmer," he said, "and I'm sowing the word of God. The seed that grows into wheat are children of the kingdom. The enemy's the devil, and the weeds are his children. The harvest is the close of the age, and the harvesters are angels. At the close of the age, I'm going to send my angels, and they're going to separate out the weed and the wheat, the weeds and the wheat, and they're going to throw all the weeds in this fiery furnace where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And many of us 21st century Americans just kind of cringe a little bit. But then Jesus says the children of the kingdom are going to shine like the sun. You got ears? Listen. And so then Jesus tells the three stories we just read as part for just before the sermon. Now there's this guy who goes out into somebody else's field and he finds treasure hidden there. and he hides the treasure somewhere else. He goes in joy, sells everything he has, and he buys the field. Kingdom of Heaven is like this pearl dealer who finds this really expensive pearl, sells everything else he owns, and buys the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like a bunch of fish swimming around in the water. And some fishermen scoop them up in a net. They take them to shore. They separate them out. The good ones get kept. The bad ones get thrown away, just like the wheat and the weeds. Do you understand? Jesus offered that explanation to his first century disciples. And the question is, what are we, 21st century followers of Jesus Christ, supposed to get out of those really strange stories? I mean, on the surface, they sound simple enough, but the deeper you start to dig into them, the stranger they get. There's this guy walking around in somebody else's field, and he finds a treasure that belongs to somebody else. And he doesn't say anything to anybody about it. He hides the treasure somewhere else and then convinces the person who really does own it to sell the field. How ethical is that? Guy finds a pearl. How valuable would one single pearl be to cause somebody to sell everything else that they own? Fish. Bad fish get thrown away. Good fish get eaten, right? So it's possible to get lost in those details of these really strange stories, or they could cause us to pause and consider that maybe, just maybe, this thing called the kingdom of heaven is actually worth something. Maybe, just maybe, if we could allow the Holy Spirit to get hold of us just a little bit, we might to start see something of incredible value. In a sermon he once preached, a Bible scholar named Tim Mackey offered some insight into this thing we call the kingdom of heaven that might be just a little helpful. He says that there are a lot of people in our culture today, and maybe even some folks in the church today, that have this sort of mental picture of what they think the Bible says and what Christians believe about heaven. And according to this picture, here we all, or on this planet we call Earth. And every day, some really, really good things happen all around us. But at the same time, a lot of really, really bad things happen all around us. And we're living out all of our days here on heaven, and most days we do things that are really, really good, but then sometimes we do things that are really, really not so good. And in the midst of all this, a guy named Jesus came. And a lot of people think that Jesus came to show us just how great he is and just how awful we are. And somehow, if we can just believe the right things about Jesus and do more good things than bad things, then in the long run, things are going to work out really great for us. On the other hand, if we don't believe the right things about Jesus, and if we do more bad things than good things, then the future's not so great. Right? If you have correct beliefs about Jesus, and you do enough good things in the future, your destiny is heaven. And in our popular imagination, heaven is a place of non-physical disembodied bliss where all your dreams come true and there's grapes and wine and harps and clouds and music and singing. But if you don't have correct beliefs about Jesus and you don't know you don't do enough good things, then your destiny is in some subterranean torture chamber. All right, now that's what Mackey tries to get out, and I don't think he's too far from wrong or too far off, because especially from some things I hear people say. The problem with that picture is that it's not exactly what the Bible says. It's not exactly what Jesus taught. If you could somehow climb into a time machine and go back and listen to Jesus teaching on any given day, you would never hear Jesus tell someone, "You're going to heaven." You would never hear Jesus tell somebody, "You're going to hell." What would you hear Jesus say? Well, Matthew gave us some insight into what you would hear Jesus say on any given day during his public ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, you would hear Jesus say, "Repent, turn to God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, please make no mistake. At some point, the good, the bad, the wheat, and the weeds will all get sorted out. But the kingdom of heaven is not something in some far off, sweet by and by place. In Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven is right here, right now. And if we can let the Holy Spirit of Christ Jesus the Lord be at the center of everything we say and everything we do, we will start to see the reality of the kingdom among us. Our problem is we want to know who's in and who's out. We want to be able to tell, well, who are the weeds and who are the wheat? We want to be able to spot good fish and bad fish. We want to know, or we want to believe, that surely we're the good ones. And we need to keep ourselves separate from all the bad ones, because there is a lot of bad out there. The enemy is hard at work sowing weeds everywhere. And there's something deep down inside of us that desperately wants to get rid of the weeds. We don't want to have to hear of any more senseless deaths caused by deranged mass shooters. We don't want to hear, we don't want to know, we don't want to have women and children and mothers and fathers blown apart by corrupt governments. We don't want to have to deal with one more bout of cancer. We don't want people to have to suffer the degradation of human trafficking. Master, can't we please just go out and weed the garden? The master says, no. It goes all the way back to page 3 of the Bible. In the Garden of Eden, God had created a good and beautiful world and put men and women in a place where heaven and earth existed together, and there was light and hope and love and everything necessary for goodness and life. And in about 3 pages, we human beings decided that we wanted to start playing God and determine the difference between good and evil ourselves. And look what happened. No, the master says, you can't see into the heart of any other human being. You don't have the capacity to tell the difference between wheat and weeds. It's really interesting to note that the word Jesus used for weeds in this passage is actually a specific plant that grows in the Middle East that it looks almost identical to wheat. Can you tell them apart? Let the wheat and the weeds grow up together, the master says, and I'll take care of it. You get busy doing the work of the kingdom of heaven. Proclaim good news. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Make broken lives whole. Jesus told stories. He told stories about wheat and weeds. He told stories about fields and streams. He told stories about light and life. He told stories to help us see the reality of the kingdom all around us. And as we keep ourselves open enough to let Jesus be at the center of our everyday lives, we will start to see the treasure of heaven that's been here the whole time. Let's pray. Great and mighty God, you have invited us into the kingdom of heaven. Help us to see it. Help us to be a part of it. Help us to make you the focus of all that we are and all that we do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.